But normally what it is that when you got grandkids, especially, you don't shut up about them. You ever have something, hey, let me say, hey, grandbaby, look at these pictures here. And they open their wallet up and like 45 pictures fall down there. And you got a picture every day they've been alive on planet Earth, you know. They keep going on and on. And you get to the point like, man, we just shut up. I mean, you got a grandkid, all right, okay. But your desire to brag about your grandkids or talk about your grandkids is the same way we measure us with our Lord, you know. Like praise and worship this morning. We're going all day, you know. And the Spirit of God, which He has deposited in us, His Spirit, it connects back with His Spirit, and we can sit here and praise and worship Him all day long. That's because it's part of the family, okay? That's why I try to share with folks there's a difference between singing and praise and worship. You know, as His children, we praise Him and worship Him, you know. If you don't have that connection, it's singing, and sometimes it's like, they sing forever in that church, you know. But yeah, just that connection because of God being in us today. And so God is still looking at showing us who we truly are in Him. And again, we go back to some of the fundamentals. Is number one, that you are a spirit and a soul that occupies a body. Think of that. The Bible says that God formed all the worlds. All the worlds, yes, the spiritual world and then our physical world, okay? So we are a spirit and a soul that's occupying this body right now. Someday this body will not be functioning, but my spirit and soul will forever. Somewhere, heaven or hell, that's the two choices that we have, amen? And knowing that or saying that, we got to realize how important it is on whatever we bring into your life. We've been talking about that. You know, so you're back from last Sunday to this Sunday. Look at some of the accomplishments you had this past week, some of the ups and some of the downs. And say, okay, what brought you up and what took you down? You know, was there something that came into your life that devastated you? Someone talked to you and it got you down and out. You ever been up and really conquered the world and you talk to somebody and time they get done talking, you're like down the gutters and stuff, you know? It's what's coming in here. What's coming in here really determines our daily walk. And so if we have the Word of God coming into here and coming out of here, man, it makes a whole difference in our life. A whole big difference in our life. But today I want to share a couple of things here. Hopefully I can. If I can't, I'll at least enjoy myself. And you're at home saying, what was he talking about today? But just a couple of things to encourage us about. Well, I'm always trying to encourage you. But I want to bore Ryan for a second. May I? Always trying to teach. Now, and I'll be honest, him and I are together right now. If we got into a fight, who's going to win? So, yeah, and I know by looking at us right now, you think, okay, they got into it, the old man ain't going to last long at all, you know what I'm saying? Okay? And, but I mean, I agree. To look at him, I mean, man, if he start mouthing off to me, I'd find every way in the world to get out of here. You know what I'm saying? If he say, hey, listen, I'm gonna kick you. I'm going to destroy you. I mean, okay, I'm getting out of here. But well, now I think, wait a second. Wait. I got this place. You want to take on the old man, huh? Okay. Come on. You know what these are, huh? I won't swing these around much. Anybody know what these are? Nunchucks. The very tip of that, in the hands of someone who knows how to use them, is 2,000 pounds of pressure. I can snap this call and break it in half that quick. So now I ask you, who would win the fight, me or Ryan?
Ryan.
Why is that? What's that? You think so? So you think the nunchucks in the hands of a trained artist wouldn't defeat a military person?
Yeah.
So, I'm getting to my sermon. I'm not there yet.
David defeated Goliath by
eating up
Jesse's
hand. Well, that's what I'm trying to get at here was this, is that when you see these, oh man, 2,000 pounds of pressure and stuff, yes, he would defeat Ryan, okay? But the thing of it is only if I know how to use them, okay? Because if I grab a weapon like this, okay, I'm trying to scare you with these, okay? I put them out there, and he grabs these things. Look at that. Now, the weapon I was going to use is now being used against me. Wow. I'm worse off now than I was from the beginning, because here I am now. I had a chance to run out of here a minute ago, okay? But I pulled out a set of chucks, and I am trained in chucks. I use them, yes. And I believe Brian is too. But now, not being trained in those, he has them now. Now, this weapon that I had is now going to be used against me. Okay? But when I have these weapons, trained in these things, okay, I have nothing to fear. I don't fear him, okay? Because he's not as strong as I am when it comes to this here. This is an equalizer, okay? He has nothing on his person that can outdo these here. I don't have to get close to him, okay? I just be out from here and boom. Amen? Okay? So, knowing the weapon, having the weapon, and using it. And if you ever use nunchucks, it takes a lot of practice. Because you had, boom. In fact, I got a pair at home that are made out of more like styrofoam that you practice your eights and stuff with, you know. Otherwise, you get hit in the head, you get knocked out and all kind of stuff. When I was practicing, I did it when I was first hired over there, and I was practicing in the radio room one time. And I just missed the computer monitor by about 2 inches. And the sheriff really strongly suggested I did not practice in the office with them anymore. I took that thing. Yes. Yes. But yeah, that's what I'm trying to think about these when I talk about my sermon today, is these here, having these here as a weapon. Amen? Okay.
Now,
yeah. But those are considered a lethal weapon in the hands of someone who can use them properly. Throwing stars the same way, if you've ever been around that kind of stuff. But if you go to Acts chapter 19 for a minute, and Pat made a comment, well, is he trained with them? That's a good comment you made there. You know? Yep. Because if I'm not trained in those things, I'll knock myself out. Amen? Yeah. And so, as I held those in my hands, you want to watch, how do I move with them? You know, how do I present them? How do I stand with them? Chuck's always staying with them normally. Under the armpit, that way you're ready to strike out at any time, or you can do it different ways. And so, I had the weapon, but is he trained with it? You know, you'll keep your distance, make sure you know what he's talking about, but you're going to inquire about that. And that's the same way when it comes to the Word of God. You know, we can carry Bibles around. You can see people carrying Bibles, and you can see people quote scriptures. Things, oh, the Bible says this, the Bible says this. Awesome! But do you believe in it? You know? And that's a whole different story when you believe. I know a lot of theologians can name everything in the Bible and quote everything. But don't do them any good. Because all they have is the knowledge of it. They don't have the belief in it. Amen, brother. You're right. But Acts 19, verse 11. It said, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So the handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, subdued all of them, and overpowered them, so they fled out of their house naked and wounded. Okay? So there, they had a desire. You know, they want to do what the apostles were doing. They want to cast out these evil spirits out of people, okay? And they thought all it was just speaking the name. You know, all it was saying, well, let's go back to what they said here. It says, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Whom Paul preaches. So they didn't know Jesus, okay? But they saw Paul, what Paul was doing. And I would say they probably had a heart, had a desire maybe, to help people. If you see someone that's possessed or in spiritual trouble, you want to help them. They say, well, I don't know what to do here, but we're going to do what they did. You know what I'm saying? Hey, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, you come out of them. And right away, the Spirit recognized, he had no authority over us. Jesus I know, Paul I heard of. But who are you? Man, destroyed him. And took out running down the street naked. I mean, talking about being embarrassing. Yeah, that was before streaking was popular. Okay? But they had that desire, I believe. And so we gather here today. Our hearts, we have a desire, I believe, as the Spirit of God is in us, to help people, to reach out to others and set people free, okay? But we have to make sure that that weapon that we have, that we understand what it is, amen? And be trained in that thing. And the number one thing is to set ourselves free. Set ourselves free, what He wants us to do, okay? I was thinking earlier, a horse. Anybody got horses, had horses? Awesome, okay. Really, wait, 1,500 pounds, 2,000 pounds maybe? It isn't amazing, I think. You take a horse, and I've seen her cousin does the Clydesdale or something like that. Humongous thing. I mean, their feet the size of my head. Boom, boom. And these things are so muscular, so powerful. But a little thing in their mouth. A little thing in their mouth guides them. If they would recognize the power they have, man, they'd be set free. Think about when they were born. They were born with a wild streak in them, I would say. I picture the horses running, the Mustangs running free and stuff like that. You just dogging or running. And then someone come along, captured them. They probably fought for a while, you know. If you watch any old Roy Rogers show, how the horses raise up. No, no. They get on the back and they ride them and ride them and ride them until finally they break their spirit. And next thing you know, they're leading them around. And my land, later on, you got this 2,000-pound horse. You got flowers stuck in his head. You know, you got the bows on his tail. There he is. And after a time, maybe he starts forgetting what it was like to be free. He's been beaten down. But then, one day, this is my head. See, in my head, I'm out the fairgrounds right now in Coshocton. I'm at the horse arena, okay? And so here I am. I'm all captured up. I got this flower on my tail, okay? And now, here come the horse trailer backs up. Woo! And here comes the stallion. Ryan's a stallion. Stand up there, horse. Look at that. I look at him, and then I start remembering something. No. And I'm looking, I'm like, wait, that used to be me. That used to be me, free. My spirit was up, and nothing bothered me. So inside of me, I start thinking, oh, wow. I want to do that. I want to be free again. So here comes my master, and he hooks me up to one of them little cart things, you know. Says, giddy up. And I start, I stop. And he takes out that whip, and get gone. get going. And I just start rebelling. Boy, it hurts. It's hurt. Just every time he whoops me, I got it back in my spirit. I'm going to be set free. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I continue to rebel. Boop. Next thing you know, you're going to turn me loose, or I'll be Elmer's glue. You know what I'm saying? But inside of me, it sparks back from the day when I was free. And no longer have the change wrong. No matter what it cost me, I am not going to be a slave anymore. Can you see that in your head, can you? I hope so. I got it in my head, you know. Well, hang on a second. I'm at the fairground. I just walked past Jerusalem's salty sandwich place. I got to stop and get one. Amen. But to me, that's kind of like ourselves with our walk with the Lord. We get born again, we get set free, wow, we're on fire. Yes, but then as we continue to walk, it's like we start putting these chains back around. We start getting bogged down with the world, right? We start looking at the world because our heart is for the world, right? Or, oh man, look at them. And next thing you know, we start wrapping ourselves up with this depression coming over us. And just, oh man, we just don't... We're concentrating on the world more than ourself. You know, and we want to have a heart for the world. Amen? But we got to have the heart for ourselves and God first. We got to realize that we've been set free. That no longer are we a slave to sin anymore. No longer are we bound. We spit that bit out a long time ago that Satan had in our head. Just think of that. He had this bit in our mouth. Look how powerful we could be. And when we called upon the name of the Lord, boom, that bit was broken, set free. But it kind of reminds me, guys, of a horse. Back to you horse people again. They tell me after a horse has been trained, you can walk up to a hitching post and not even tie it. Just leave it stand there. And, yeah, ground tie. And they won't move because that's a hitching post. They don't know they're free. They don't know they can take off. Roar! Get out of here, you know? Why? Because they've been beaten. Now, I'm not talking about beaten up physically, but just browbeaten, I'll put it that way, you know. But man, when they, discipline, yeah. But man, when they see another horse taking off, I'm going to try that again. Boom. And see, that's where we are now. We have to set ourselves free. We got to go back and look at what God has said about you and about me and who we are. That we are a child of God delivered from our sins. Name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are a spirit and a soul occupying this body for a while. Yes. Nothing's going to take away what God has given us now here on earth or for eternal life. And we need more of that concentration every day of who we are. You know what I'm saying? And then the world. What can we do to help the world? You guys just sang it earlier. I love Bonnie. You've done the things. I still can't do that right. This little light of mine. I don't know. But yeah, I'm going to let my light shine wherever God has placed me at to be a difference. Like Penny said, hey, I found somebody who wanted me. Was glad to see me. You know? That's one thing about this bad weather and stuff. You know, the people you can't stand, they're not quite as bad when you get dug out of your snowbank and stuff. You know, God has a way of turning things around, you know. But that's why he wants us to recognize who we are and then to help set us back free again. Not saying you're not born again. Understand? I mean, that stallion, I mean, he's still a stallion, okay? But he's just under control. He's still a horse. A horse is a horse. Go ahead. Yeah, her husband, Steve, 3 months in a coma in the hospital. I mean, he can do that. He's trying to get set free again, the horse was. Wasn't trained yet, yeah. So what we want to do is submit ourselves to the Lord, right? We want Him to take control of us, amen? We want to submit to Him. We don't want the devil taking control of us, okay? He had us at one time. We were born as His child, and we were born in sin. And we've been set free because we call upon the name of the Lord. God's Spirit has come back into us. We have that desire now inside of us, amen? So we want Him to control us. We want Him to lead us. We want God, through His Word, to direct our paths. And not the devil. But you know, the devil don't give up that easy, does he? He don't. But the Word of God will bring you through anything. Okay? Look at Brother Paul for a second. Second Corinthians, where we want to go now. I'm going to figure out one of these days how to get things changed where I can be up there and not back here all the time. But I haven't figured it out yet. I got to run back and forth. Oh, I'm plugged in here. Better not do that. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I think we're going down to... Boom, boom, boom. I'm going to start with verse 20, I believe it is. Get a drink of water here. Now I got all my notes up here. If what I'm saying is, verse 20 says, "But Paul's speaking. But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am just as bold myself. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten time without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned 3 times. I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, danger in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin with my intense concern?" All that he was going through, Brother Paul was going through. And he says his concern was with the churches. His churches, you know. But all he went through, and what got Paul to go through this? What gave Paul the strength to continue with the gospel, continue following Jesus? What caused him to do all that? Because he had a true encounter with Jesus Christ, amen? And he kept his mind focused on that. I mean, can you imagine the torment that he was going through? Can you imagine Satan speaking to him in his head? You know what I'm saying? I don't say Satan showed up in himself, but in his head all the time, "You're worthless, no good." Just kind of like, "Dude, just curse God and die." You know? What's that? Right, if God really loved you, why would this stuff happen? Did Satan ever ask you that? Aren't you a follower? Didn't you pray for this person? Didn't they die? Amen? I mean, that's stuff he gets in his head. Well, we're no different. Paul would be the same way. All that stuff would come into Paul. And what Paul, Brother Paul, had to do was concentrate more and more and more on his calling, on his relationship with Jesus. Man, that's a lot of stuff to be gone through. Now, could we have went through all that Paul did? Could we be, man? I mean, how many times did I get beaten before you throw in the towel? You know, he's beaten 39 times, okay? That's all many times that a Roman could beat a Roman, okay? Now, there's no restrictions on anybody else. Like, Jesus, when he was beat, sometimes people say, well, he was he beat 39 lashes, okay? But no, Jesus was a Jew. They beat him more than 39 times. I mean, well, actually, they beat him. There's one stripe on Jesus' back, and it's about 2.5 feet wide. So, I mean, they beat him to a hamburger. But 39 lashes was the most you could give a Roman, and Paul was a Roman. Okay? That's why they specified the 39, because 40 lashes is considered a death sentence. And look, I mean, take you back to Jesus a second. Look how many times they beat him. And if you ever seen the Passion of the Christ, what really spoke to me was when he was being beat in the Colosseum there, and he went down. And if you remember, his body was shaken, and he was just a bloody mess. And the next thing you know, you saw him stand back up, saying, I'm not done yet. Wow. I mean, and here's Brother Paul going through all this here, and his concern is for the church. Now, the church isn't a building. The church is us, one another. And that kept him going. Wow. Yeah. And that same thing can help us get going. And when we're about ready to throw the towel in, walk away, he said, I don't know. It's not about me anymore. It's about Fernanda. And Fernanda said, man, it ain't about me anymore. It's about Daryl. And Daryl said, one another keeps us going. Man, now I've heard a lot of people over my years say, man, if it wasn't for my kids, I would throw the towel in. And others say, it's because of my kids, I'll throw the towel in. You know what I'm saying? But when we focus on the Lord, it's all about Jesus. Our mindset, when we get it, it's all about Jesus. It's all about His ministry that you've been called into. Okay? Not the food ministry here. I mean, some do. But it's the ministry of sharing the gospel and living for Him. When you know that you know that He's called you. I shared this the other day. I think I get my days mixed up. But I visited a lady 101 years old the other day. Wanted to see me. I went down to where Brother Bill used to live at Wenslerwood. Wow. And she wanted to talk to me. I mean, Ethel, if you guys remember Ethel from the East Main Street Church. We run their church, and she was one of the, well, that time she was 86 years old. Anyway, she's really behind us and getting the church started and stuff. And she had it on her final wishes that she wanted me to do the service when she would pass. Now, she's not going to pass yet. I mean, who knows when I'm 101 years old, you know. And it was funny because when they invited the church up there to see about running that church up here on East Main, they wanted me to come and do a service for them. And so midweek, I was going to preach on a Sunday for them, and they called me, Mr. School Teacher in Ridgeway, I can't remember his name, he called me, the guy in charge of the church here, and he said, well, Pastor Stark, are you coming this Sunday? I said, yep. Okay, well, now, you're going to give the message, right? I said, yep. But remember, we figure whatever you got to say, you can say it in about 15 minutes, right? Well, here I am, 15, 16 years later, I'm speaking to Ethel, and she says, well, I want you to do my service for me, you know? She says, yeah, I'm ready to go home anytime, you know? But remember this, though, I like to have this and this. My favorite song is, but remember, keep it short. So I must have a reputation, have a lot of wind or whatever, you know? But she says, you know, my purpose in life is praying. See, we think a purpose has to be a physical encounter. But the powerfulness of prayer, the prayer that we pray, there will be gone before us, contained in front of the throne of God, even when I'm in His presence. And so, and her son was down there. Her son, I don't know how he would be. Nice guy. Christian man, too. And he said, yeah, Mom, they asked me the last 2 years, you know, why God still got me here, I wonder. He says, for the people out there to pray for, you know. So, it has to be a physical endeavor for us to be doing something for the Lord. But there's nothing more powerful than our prayer life. Because we are a spirit and a soul occupying a body. And how do we fight a spiritual warfare? In the spirit realm, through our prayers, speaking the word of God. Amen. Amen. And so there's Brother Paul. What kept him agone was his calling. He knew that he was already bought and paid for. And you look at the zeal that he had before he came to know Jesus. I mean, he was a stubborn Pharisee. I mean, he was a religious man, very religious. That's why he came after the Christians, because he thought they were wrong. So God tapped into him, took that zeal that he had. When he met Jesus, wow, he was a four-barrel carburetor on a drag race. I mean, he never stopped. He never slowed down at all. Even to his death, he continued that way. To share that, because, again, Paul tells us, to live is for Christ, and to die is for us. Or live for Christ is gain. Gain, yes, amen. Amen. So he wants us to continue to guard our spiritual being. Make sure that we don't allow Satan to come back in and try to wrap us up where we once was at one time. I heard the bells. Tommy, somebody else is hearing that, aren't they?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, is that you? I thought it was coming down the hallway. Oh, man. I was getting ready to run. Jesus! Oh, okay. I figured that you were voted one to time me. That way I wouldn't speak that long. The way I can say it about 15 minutes. Does that be? No, no, amen, amen.
I'm a Christian.
Oh, no, but you know what was nice back in the day, though, when I was going to Catholic church on a hot day, in and out in 25 minutes. Yeah. They changed now. They got air conditioning stuff now. So yeah. But if you go to one restaurant, I know. We got two. James 4:7. You know, someone has to be in charge of us. Amen. Now we can say, "Oh, I'm my own man." But there's something controlling that man. It's either woman. Okay, I'm a woman. I'm my own woman. Well, that don't sound right, does it? You say it, Carol. I still got a flower on my tail. I can't say that too masculine there, okay? Thank you. I'm my own person. I like that. But in James 4:7, as we encounter the spiritual warfare that we're going to be fighting till the trumpet sounds, he gives us the instructions of submitting yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow. Okay? So when it says submit yourself, and the scripture says also, don't throw anything at me yet, it tells the wives to submit themselves to husbands, okay? But the whole thing is around godly precepts. The man is, first of all, the husband is to submit himself to God. He is to love his bride as Christ loved the church. And he laid down his life for the church. He put the church before anything, the bride. And so when the husband does that, then the wife's position is, okay, now submit yourself to your husband. Not saying that the wife is any less than the husband. You got different positions to fulfill, okay? And so she can do that knowing that her husband is following Christ, okay? Because he will cause no harm to her. What's that? Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. And grab your mic too, because you have some good comments. I'll make sure we hear them. Okay. Okay. You want to get the mic there? We can hear it. Yeah. In the Passion Translation, if you don't mind, or Carol, you can read it if Angela don't want to, or I can read it, or there.
Where it says about humble yourself, mm-hmm. Resist the devil. Mm-hmm. It says surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Well, why would he do that? Why would he flee from you? You got to realize that the best thing I can tell you that it's like being a tick or a leech, okay? A leech has to have a body, or a tick has to have, they got to suck blood sooner or later, okay? Or they're going to die. That's the same way the demonic demons are. They have to occupy a body in order to fulfill their desire. And when you look at, when you read the hideous headlines sometimes, and you see, man, this person did this. I mean, you all remember a fellow by the name of Dahmer years ago, okay? You talk about demonic influence in his life. That's what caused him to do that. It was that spirit, it was that murderous spirit, perverted spirit. I mean, you talk about a stronghold. And I don't know how many demonic spirits you could have occupying his body. Okay? So what it was, in order for it to do what it wanted to do in the spirit realm, in order for the devil to do his work, he has to have you. He has to use you. He wants to get a hold of you. It goes back again to that horse and bridle in his mouth, okay? Look how strong we are in Christ Jesus. Think of that. You know, I pulled out the nunchuck with Ryan there, okay? Not nunchuck, but the way he was standing there, he could not take me. I'm telling you, he could not take me. Okay. But I had to realize in my back pocket I had the weapon. And number two, I got to remember myself that I'm being trained to use that properly, okay? Amen? And it's the same what you're doing. Every time you open up the Word of God, every time you start reading the Word, whether you know or not, you're starting to train your spirit more and more because you're putting weapons up here that's going to come out here that's going to set you free and set other people free. Understand that. But that's why if you sit here today and say, man, I have been, you know, I don't know what's going on. I get tormented so much at nighttime or this time or that time because Satan wants you. Understand that. You're covered by the blood of Jesus, okay? But what did he tell us to do? Draw closer to God to resist. We have to resist. And again, I can't emphasize enough, resisting is, it's not just walking away. It's like Ryan had a hold of my arm right now. This is this thing. Oh, he's not here. If Dylan had the hold of my arm right now, everybody, hold my arm. Yeah, I want to set it free. You know, look, I got a fight, and then they can realize, wait a second. Okay? I pull these out. What? And the spirits are around. Wait. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Greater he that's in me than he that's in the world. Keep behind me, Satan. Out, flee in the name of Jesus. He's got to go. Yeah, I didn't mean to yell too loud at you, buddy. I'm sorry. But he has to understand that. Now he'll try to convince you. Satan tried to convince you that he's the meanest, baddest thing on the face of the earth, and he'll wipe you out and destroy you because you are no power to him. And all he is a stinking fallen angel, one angel cast down from heaven, rebelled against God. Then God sent his Son to redeem us when we fell into his trap. Now truly, greater he that lives in you than he who's in this world today. And you recognize that. Recognize that. And recognize who the tempter is. Recognize that he wants back. He wants to occupy you. He wants your hands, your feet. He wants your mouth. He wants to destroy you. He hates you because you're made in the image of God. He hates you because you rebelled against the evil that was you were born in. Understand that. He's born in sin. But that light came on, you received Christ, the Spirit of the living God came into you. And so when we say, greater than he, does that mean that he that's in the world? That means the Spirit of the living God is in you. But if you stop right there, it ain't going to do you any good. That's like saying, greater weapon I have in me than Ryan's got there. I walk around all day long, strutting around Ryan. Yeah, you think you got me? And Ryan just be kicking the daylights out of me. Wait, I got the greatest weapon. Until I learn how to use this, until I get it out to use it, it makes a difference. And we can find ourselves sitting down saying, oh man, this temptation is terrible. This is, but greater he is in me. Greater he is in me. Okay, who's in me? Spirit of living God. Who's in me? Christ. Who's in me? The living Word. What's my weapon? You said it earlier, brother. The Word of God is my weapon. The spoken Word of God is my weapon. That's my sword. It destroys the adversary. The spoken Word of God destroys whatever's been tormenting you, whatever's trying to wrap you up. It destroys it. And Satan wants you to know that. That's why these thoughts come back to you from day to day, possibly, of your old life. Try to weaken you. Try and say, wait. Who do you think you are? Remember what you used to do? He tried to shut you down, man. The next thing you do, he'll bring somebody back into your life they've been set free from. Who's coming only for one? They don't know it. They'll come for one reason, and that is to knock you down. To drag you back where you come from. And folks, a lot of folks get drugged if we don't stay in the I'm sorry. If we don't stay in the Word of God, speaking that Word of God, and recognize who this enemy truly is, and not give him a foothold. Now, he's a sneaky thing. He's sneaky. I mean, right now, probably, for some folks, I can put a shirt on that says AEP, Power Company. Everybody loves the Power Company, don't they? You love us, don't you? Uh-huh. I go up and knock on your door. No. You're rich. I got a doorbell. Ding dong. Ring your doorbell. Ding dong. Ding dong. So you go up to the door. You peek out. AEP, high power. Oh, okay. Yeah, I hope, yeah. I need to come in your house. Have some power out. I need to check your fuse box or breaker box or whatever. Oh, all right. Well, come on in. And next thing you know, get my whole house hostage, get me wrapped up, make me cook for him, do all kind of stuff. You know, boom. It looked okay. AEP. Okay. Another scenario. Ding dong. Ding dong. Ding dong. I mean, I don't have a doorbell here. Look up. Yeah, can I help you? AEP, I'm here to check your electric box. Oh, you are? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm yelling to the door right now. Okay. I see this class in front. Okay. Can I see your ID, please? What? Your ID. Oh, well, here. It says, okay. Okay. Now, what office are you from? Zanesville? Okay. Hang on a second. Now, this is going to take a couple minutes. But who's in charge of my house? Is it me? Yes. In my head, I'm doing this. Is this how old I'm getting? You know what that is? Rotary phone. I'm calling up. And next thing you know, press one. Press two. Press three. Now, you can't do it. That's true. Oh, you're right. They get through all these. Press one, press two, person says, or hang on the line. And so, boom, this guy's out there waiting to get in, okay? I'm on the phone, toot, toot, and playing my favorite song, boom, 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 boom. Pretty soon, someone comes on the line, I say, I've got a gentleman out here, this is my name, my address. Did you send someone out today to check my electric bill? Now, I didn't call any number he gave me, okay? I got and called off my electric bill. And that's when you go, yes, Mr. Lawrence, we had an outage out earlier. We need to check your box. And okay, well, thank you very much. They'll give me a guy's name. They're even describing what it looks like. We got a mustache, you got little beady eyes, you know, that kind of stuff. Now I go back, open the door up with confidence as much as I can. But he's going to come in my home. He's not going to hurt my bride. Boom. Now, that to you might seem far-fetched. Like, man, that took you 5 minutes out there, okay? But the thing of it is, if I truly take responsibility of my house and what God's given me, I'm here to protect my wife, okay? That's just my part of it. Her part is to take care of me, you know what I'm saying? I mean, how bad would I feel if, ding dong, hey, come on in! Oh, wife's in the living room, I'm getting ready to go out and mow the grass. How would you feel? Yes. She's like, no. It'd be the first time she ever mowed grass. Because she has allergies. She shovels snow, I mow grass. But what he's showing us there, folks, is that if we're truly going to be watchmen of our temple, if we're going to be watchmen of what comes in our life, if we truly want to be closer with God, we have to watch out what comes into our life. And some things will be dressed up so nice. Some things will seem like, well, what's going to hurt? And you open the door up. Boom. If something is spoken to you, given to you, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, if you can't find it in the Word of God, leave it alone. That's the number one thing. Because Satan, like I say, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So as we draw closer to God, that's one thing. We get closer to the Lord. How we get that? By His Word, by prayer. What you guys did today, worship Him, the presence of God in your life. Oh, man. It's like, it's kind of like He reverses that. You're here at a doorbell. Like, oh, ding, ding, ding. Holy Spirit saying, hey, watch out, Starkey. Be cautious. That's not a good deal to get into. That's not the job that you want. That's not the spouse that you need. That's not the car that you want. All that stuff. You know, it's called the Spirit of Truth that lives in us. And He'll give you warnings. You're going to buy a car? take a moment and pray. God, just lead me. Yeah, I want a car. I know I want a 69 Camaro, 396, 4-speed. But Lord, you know exactly what I need. And next thing you know, I got a Rambler, okay? But I got something he knew exactly because he saw me in that Camaro, Josh. He saw me going down the road 180 miles an hour. And he saw the little red lights behind me, okay? I'm on a pension, so. So just trust God. And sometimes he'll tell you no. But he tells you no for you. It seems funny that when we pray about something, oh, Lord, should I buy this or buy that? But listen for the yes. But if he says no, it's like, that's not God. Satan trying to steal my joy away from me, okay? But trusting him, and how do we do that? What you're doing continually, getting closer to him, hearing the word of God. One more verse for today. Back here again. Let's see. Oh, and that's 1 John 4:4. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Wow. And so when he talks about the Antichrist spirit, he's not talking about the Antichrist. There will be one that's raised up in the book of Revelations during the tribulation period, and he'll be Satan on earth. I mean, he'll be the Antichrist himself. But the Antichrist spirit is anyone who speaks against Jesus. They have that spirit. Not saying he can't be redeemed, okay? But they're saying that. And so he's commenting to us right here. He's going to watch out. There's going to be a lot of false prophets out there, and those who will not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's one thing that Satan won't do at this time. The demonic will not confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You think, well, what a way he could deceive people if he did. Well, I'd be like, for some of you guys cheering on the Steelers being a Browns fan, you just don't do that, right? Okay? But see, there'd be a lot of deception out there. But he says, for us, you're from God, little children. Your birth, the Holy Spirit has birth in you. You're his child. And so, truly, greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. And that's that word that you're depositing right now. So he's telling us to hear the word, to be able to speak the word, okay? But also for us to draw closer to God and resist. Resist the temptations of this world. Resist the opportunity to gossip. Resist the opportunity to lie. Resist the opportunity to steal. Resist the opportunity to do anything that's not of God. Resist that. And it's sometimes a fight. Because our bodies, we've been trained to do things so much. Even as a born-again Christian, as we walk with the Lord, he'll show us more and more things in our life that, man, that's not of me. And once he shows it to us, we want to get rid of it. And so we have to resist that temptation. And again, it goes back to maybe finding different places to hang out at. You know, some in the point in our life, well, I don't want to do this, but I have no choice. We have a choice. And that is through faith in the Word of God. You might be saying, hey, listen, I can't do this. I don't see what other choices I have, but I know my God. He said to me, all my needs are rich in glory in Christ Jesus. I surrender my life to him. I'm his kid. He's going to take care of me. And the Bible says he's never seen any of God's children out there begging food. You think, well, how about this? But when we get into his word, when we obey his word, when we say, okay, I'm going to do it, it works. You know, it says, I think Matthew 6, he talks about seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And all the things that we need are given to us, okay? And another part of it, and I won't teach on that today because everybody ran out of the church, and that's your money. You know? If you got money trouble, get in the Word of God. It will come to me. I'll show it to you. I'll preach on it someday. Tell me, hey, preacher, preach about money. Because the thing of it is, number one, he says, first of all, the tithe, the tenth, comes to him. Okay? He didn't abolish that in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. The tenth belongs to God. And if you do that, he said, now I'm going to pour a blessing on you you cannot contain. Wow. I'll rebuke the devil for you. Just trust me, the tenth. And but he goes on in the scripture, Jesus says, now, yes, I mean, don't forget about the tithe, but don't forget about the love. Amen? Then he says, as you give, it'll be given back to you. And that covers everything. Not just money part of it. Okay? Come back to 34, 40, 50, something. When you lend to the poor, otherwise when we give to the poor, and folks, we all got people, I'm poor. To a lot of people, I am poor, okay? But there's other people poorer than I am. So I help them, God gives it back to me. I can tell you all day long, I can tell you how many times God has done that. So people come in and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Oh, awesome. Will you pray? I've got money problems. Oh, really? Yeah, if you follow the Word of God, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray with you that God will return back to you exactly what you've given to Him. And His Word is true. Amen? And they say, yes, preacher, you're right. Okay, they say, well, no. Okay. So, well, then let's confess our sins to the Lord. Father, forgive me. I've taken what you give me. I blew it. I've used it wrongly. Forgive me. Confess your sins. Okay. Now, Father, pour a blessing on them that cannot contain. Go and follow the Master. And that's just God's, that's just His Word. Okay. And I know a lot of times you get in the churches, people say, oh, that preacher, all he wants is your money. I don't want your money. I don't need your money. I don't use your money. Well, I put gas in my truck when I go visit people. But you need it to further God's kingdom. Okay? There's a lot of preachers on TV say, well, send me your money. I want to do this or that. And we think, well, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of them got good hearts. Some of them, they're preachers. They're not your pastor. Amen? How do they get the gospel around the world? They got by airtime. Okay? So we can get on them a lot, but I'm telling you what, if you've been called, if someone said right now, Vicky, I need to go out, God said, oh, you need to go out there, blah, 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 and they need underwear, they need socks, they need shirts, they need clothing, and you get this heavy burden on them, what would you do? You stand up in church and say, hey, listen, guys, God put this on my heart. I need to get out there to do this, but man, I need this, and I need this, I need this. You'd be pouring out to the body of Christ, and we need this. What can we do? And some will say, well, I got this at home, I got this at home. Others will open up their pocketbooks, so here's money for gas to get out there and get back with. See what I'm saying? And that's the same way that some of the preachers on TV are. They are doing an awesome job. They're going around the world feeding people and stuff, you know. And many will tell you, listen, you know, we're preachers. I'm not your pastor, they'll tell you. Okay, you're a pastor in your local church. That's where you go and congregate. That's where you go and pray for one another. That's why I keep praying that people get set free from being so easy of just turning on the TV or something. And that's all the churches are having when they have the ability to do others. Because TV church is great. Amen? It is. But you can't watch TV and see a person sitting beside you with no shoes on. You can't see the one the heart's breaking back there in the back. And that's why God wants us, when we can, to be in fellowship. Sometimes we can't. Don't ever let Satan get on you because you can't come to church. No, I'm getting at when we get to the point that we get away from that fellowship, we're losing a lot of what God's called us to do. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But resist the devil. Draw closer to God, and Satan will flee from you. Amen? And do what I do. If I need help fleeing from someplace or resisting, I got some muscles back here. Ryan, I come up here. I got a lot of spiritual muscles back here. So, yes, amen. Amen.